Chapter 58. Dad. Apostrophe, Mr. Pecksniff had certainly raised his voice pretty high, not so much because he thought Anthony was deaf, as because he felt convinced that his perceptive faculties were waxing dim. But this quick resentment of his considerate behavior greatly disconcerted him, and, not knowing what tack to shape his course upon, he made another inclination of the head, yet more submissive than the last. I have said, apostrophe repeated the old man, that Jonas is sweet upon your daughter. Apostrophe, a charming girl, sir, apostrophe murmured Mr. Pecksniff, seeing that he waited for an answer. A dear girl, Mr. Chuzzlewit, though I say it, who should not? Apostrophe, you know better, apostrophe cried the old man, advancing his weazen face at least a yard, and starting forward in his chair to do it. You lie. What, you will be a hypocrite, will you? Apostrophe, my good sir, apostrophe Mr. Pecksniff began. Don't call me a good sir, apostrophe retorted Anthony, and don't claim to be one yourself. If your daughter was what you would have me believe, she wouldn't do for Jonas. Being what she is, I think she will. He might be deceived in a wife. She might run riot, contract debts, and waste his substance. Now when I am dead apostrophe, his face altered so horribly as he said the word, that Mr. Pecksniff really was fain to look another way. Apostrophe it will be worse for me to know of such doings, than if I was alive, for to be tormented for getting that together, which even while I suffer for its acquisition, is flung into the very kennels of the streets, would be insupportable torture. No, apostrophe said the old man, hoarsely, let that be saved at least, let there be something gained, and kept fast hold of, when so much is lost. Apostrophe, my dear Mr. Chuzzlewit, apostrophe said Pecksniff, these are unwholesome fancies, quite unnecessary, sir, quite uncalled for, I am sure. The truth is, my dear sir, that you are not well. Apostrophe, apostrophe, not dying though. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Anthony, with something like the snarl of a wild animal. Not yet. There are years of life in me. Why, look at him, apostrophe pointing to his feeble clerk. Death has no right to leave him standing, and to mow me down. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Pecksniff was so much afraid of the old man, and so completely taken aback by the state in which he found him, that he had not even presence of mind enough to call up a scrap of morality from the great storehouse within his own breast. Therefore he stammered out that no doubt it was, in fairness and decency, Mr. Chuffey's turn to expire, and that from all he had heard of Mr. Chuffey, and the little he had the pleasure of knowing of that gentleman, personally, he felt convinced in his own mind that he would see the propriety of expiring with as little delay as possible. Come here. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the old man, beckoning him to draw nearer. Jonas will be my heir, Jonas will be rich, and a great catch for you. You know that. Jonas is sweet upon your daughter. Apostrophe, I know that too, apostrophe thought Mr. Pecksniff, for you have said it often enough. Apostrophe, he might get more money than with her, apostrophe said the old man, but she will help him to take care of what they have. She is not too young or heedless, and comes of a good hard griping stock. But don't you play too fine a game. She only holds him by a thread. And if you draw it too tight, I know his temper, it'll snap. Bind him when he's in the mood, Pecksniff. Bind him. You're too deep. In your way of leading him on, you'll leave him miles behind. Bah, you man of oil, have I no eyes to see how you have angled with him from the first? Apostrophe, apostrophe, now I wonder, apostrophe thought Mr. Pecksniff, looking at him with a wistful face, whether this is all he has to say? Apostrophe, apostrophe, old Anthony rubbed his hands and muttered to himself, complained again that he was cold, drew his chair before the fire, and, sitting with his back to Mr. Pecksniff, and his chin sunk down upon his breast, was, in another minute, quite regardless or forgetful of his presence. uncouth and unsatisfactory as this short interview had been, it had furnished Mr. Pecksniff with a hint which, supposing nothing further were imparted to him, repaid the journey up and home again. For the good gentleman had never, for want of an opportunity, dived into the depths of Mr. Jonas's nature, and any recipe for catching such a son-in-law, much more one written on a leaf out of his own father's book, was worth the having. In order that he might lose no chance of improving so fair an opportunity by allowing Anthony to fall asleep, before he had finished all he had to say, Mr. Pecksniff, in the disposal of the refreshments on the table, a work to which he now applied himself in earnest, resorted to many ingenious contrivances for attracting his attention, such as coughing, sneezing, clattering the teacups, sharpening the knives, dropping the loaf, and so forth. But all in vain, for Mr. Jonas returned, and Anthony had said no more. "What? My father asleep again?" apostrophe he cried, as he hung up his hat, and cast a look at him. "Ah! And snoring. Only here. Apostrophe, he snores very deep, apostrophe," said Mr. Pecksniff. "Snores deep? Apostrophe, apostrophe," repeated Jonas. "Yes, let him alone for that. He'll snore for six, at any time. Apostrophe, do you know, Mr. Jonas, apostrophe," said Pecksniff, "that I think your father is, don't let me alarm you, breaking? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, is he though?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied Jonas, with a shake of the head which expressed the closeness of his dutiful observation. "Ecod, you don't know how tough he is. He ain't upon the move yet. Apostrophe, it struck me that he was changed, both in his appearance and manner, apostrophe," said Mr. Pecksniff. "That's all you know about it, apostrophe," returned Jonas, seating himself with a melancholy air. "He never was better than he is now. How are they all at home? How's charity? Apostrophe, blooming, Mr. Jonas, blooming. Apostrophe, and the other one, how's she? Apostrophe, apostrophe, volatile trifler. Apostrophe, apostrophe," said Mr. Pecksniff, fondly musing. "She is well, she is well. Roving from parlor to bedroom, Mr. Jonas, like a bee, skimming from post to pillar, like the butterfly, dipping her young beak into our currant wine, like the hummingbird. Ah, were she a little less giddy than she is, and had she but the sterling qualities of Cherry, my young friend. Apostrophe, apostrophe, is she so very giddy then?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Jonas. "Well, well, apostrophe, apostrophe," said Mr. Pecksniff, with great feeling, "let me not be hard upon my child. Beside her sister Cherry she appears so. A strange noise that, Mr. Jonas. Apostrophe, apostrophe, something wrong in the clock, I suppose," apostrophe, said Jonas, glancing towards it. "So the other one ain't your favorite, ain't she?" Apostrophe, the fond father was about to reply, and had already summoned into his face a look of most intense sensibility, when the sound he had already noticed was repeated. "Upon my word, Mr. Jonas, that is a very extraordinary clock," apostrophe, said Pecksniff. "It would have been, if it had made the noise which startled them. But another kind of timepiece was fast running down, and from that the sound proceeded. A scream from Chuffy, rendered 100 times more loud and formidable by his silent habits, made the house ring from roof to cellar, and, looking round, they saw Anthony Chuzzlewit extended on the floor, with the old clerk upon his knees beside him. He had fallen from his chair in a fit, and lay there, battling for each gasp of breath, with every shriveled vein and sinew starting in its place, as if it were bent on bearing witness to his age, and sternly pleading with nature against his recovery. It was frightful to see how the principle of life, shut up within his withered frame, fought like a strong devil, mad to be released, and rent its ancient prison house. A young man in the fullness of his vigor, struggling with so much strength of desperation, would have been a dismal sight, but an old, old, shrunken body, endowed with preternatural might, and giving the lion every motion of its every limb and joint to its enfeebled aspect, was a hideous spectacle indeed. They raised him up, and fetched a surgeon with all haste, who bled the patient, and applied some remedies. But the fits held him so long, that it was past midnight, when they got him quiet now, but quite unconscious and exhausted into bed. "Don't go," said Jonas, putting his ashy lips to Mr. Pecksniff's ear and whispered across the bed. "It was a mercy you were present when he was taken ill. Someone might have said it was my doing. Your doing. Cried Mr. Pecksniff. "I don't know but they might," he replied, wiping the moisture from his white face. "People say such things. How does he look now?" Mr. Pecksniff shook his head. "I used to joke, you know," said Jonas. "But I never wished him dead. Do you think he's very bad?" "The doctor said he was." "You heard," was Mr. Pecksniff's answer. "Ah, but he might say that to charge us more, in case of his getting well," said Jonas. "You mustn't go away, Pecksniff. Now it's come to this, I wouldn't be without a witness for £1,000. Chuffy said not a word, and heard not a word. He had sat himself down in a chair at the bedside, and there he remained, motionless, except that he sometimes bent his head over the pillow, and seemed to listen. He never changed in this. Though once in the dreary night Mr. Pecksniff, having dozed, awoke with a confused impression that he had heard him praying, and strangely mingling figures not of speech, but arithmetic with his broken prayers. Jonas sat there too, all night, not where his father could have seen him, had his consciousness returned, but hiding, as it were, behind him, and only reading how he looked in Mr. Pecksniff's eyes. He, the coarse upstart, who had ruled the house so long that craven cur, who was afraid to move, and shook so, that his very shadow fluttered on the wall. It was broad, bright, stirring day when, leaving the old clerk to watch him, they went down to breakfast. People hurried up and down the street, windows and doors were opened, thieves and beggars took their usual posts, workmen bestirred themselves, tradesmen set forth their shops. Bailiffs and constables were on the watch. All kinds of human creatures strove, in their several ways, as hard to live as the one sick old man who combated for every grain of sand in his fast emptying glass, as eagerly as if it were an empire. "If anything happens, Pecksniff," said Jonas, "you must promise me to stop here till it's all over. You shall see that I do what's right." "I know that you will do what's right, Mr. Jonas," said Pecksniff. "Yes, yes, but I won't be doubted. No one shall have it in his power to say a syllable against me," he returned. "I know how people will talk. Just as if he wasn't old, or I had the secret of keeping him alive." Mr. Pecksniff promised that he would remain, if circumstances should render it, in his esteemed friend's opinion, desirable. They were finishing their meal in silence, when suddenly an apparition stood before them, so ghastly to the view, that Jonas shrieked aloud, and both recoiled in horror. Old Anthony, dressed in his usual clothes, was in the room beside the table. He leaned upon the shoulder of his solitary friend, and on his livid face, and on his horny hands, and in his glassy eyes, untraced by an eternal finger in the very drops of sweat upon his brow, was one word: death. He spoke to them in something of his own voice too, but sharpened and made hollow, like a dead man's face. What he would have said, God knows. He seemed to utter words, but they were such as man had never heard. And this was the most fearful circumstance of all, to see him standing there, gabbling in an unearthly tongue. "He's better now," said Chuffy. "Better now. Let him sit in his old chair, and he'll be well again. I told him not to mind. I said so, yesterday." They put him in his easy chair, and wheeled it near the window, then, swinging open the door, exposed him to the free current of morning air. but not all the air that is, nor all the winds that ever blew twixt heaven and earth, could have brought new life to him. Plunge him to the throat in golden pieces now, and his heavy fingers shall not close on one. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.